Dear Heavenly Father, we are so glad to gather together before you to give praises to you and to give thanks to you, knowing you are the source of life and you are the source of our strength, and you are the one who loves us the most. You are the one who provides us upon all kinds of need we have, and you are the ultimate sufficiency for us. Father, we come to you, not only we appreciate what you have given to us, what you have done for us, but even more importantly, who you are. You are our dearest Heavenly Father, and the maker of the universe, and the King of Kings. In Jesus' name, we give our praises to you. Amen. Shall we all open our hymn book to sing hymn 332? I am thine, Lord. We can sing a little bit faster. Shall we all stand up?
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it showed thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading side. On the pure delight of a single heart, that before thy throne I stand. When I knew him pure and with thee my God, I come here as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious pleading side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious waiting side.
Let us continue praise our Lord by singing hymn 398. 398. I would like to have everybody sing stanzas 1 and 4, And we'd like to have adults sing stanza 2 and youth and children sing verse 3.
Love with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Hold this good and perfect peace from his presence, all divine, in a love which cannot cease. I am his and he is mine, in a love which cannot cease. I am his and he is mine.
All the adults.
Heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue, Christ the stars have never seen. Birds in song, his glory show, far with sleep, her beauty shine. Since I know, as I know, I am his and he is mine. Since I know, as I know, he is his and he is mine.
Youth and children,
things that love.
Together.
He's forever only his, whom the Lord and me shall part. Off with God the rest of bliss, Christ and fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn joy. And I shall be, I am his and he is mine. But for God, then I shall be, I am his and he is mine.
Please be seated. We will have a few minutes praying together. As a family, or if for some of you, your family members are not sitting next to you, you may form a groups of two or three, and then give thanks to the Lord based on the praise hymns we just sung, or if you have any personal things you would like to thank the Lord for, and you can do so. We will pray together. Pray in small groups for about 3 minutes or so, and then I will close with pastoral prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for you have not only promised, but also made it true that to give us all kinds of spiritual blessings from the heavenly realm. Father, since coming to know you, since knowing how much you love us, since we come to know Christ, we realize that things that can be seen today will not last for long, not even forever. But things that cannot be seen today, they are much more precious, that are much more beautiful, they are to come. Father, therefore, we do not feel despair by what's happening around us, especially those the atrocities. And we know that, Father, you will deliver us from all kinds of evils, and you promise that you will be with us. Father, we just pray that you help us to focus upon yourself. And no matter what we go through, whether it is a success or failure in human eyes, help us to focus on the purpose you have set for our lives, so that, Father, we will carry out your will, we will do your will all the way in our lives, regardless of what's happening around us. Father, we praise you and we give thanks to you because you have been with us, you have been blessing and been keeping us. And this evening we come to you and give our hearts to you, but also we pray that you will renew our spirit so that we come even closer to you, and you will also give us the strength to live for you, and we can continue to live a godly life that will let your name be known by this world, and let yourself be known to all the people around us too. At this moment, Father, we also pray for this country. We have many, many soldiers and friends who are now in the battle zone. We pray that you will comfort their hearts no matter what kind of danger they are in right now, no matter how what may happen to them. Father, we pray that you will move their hearts and to turn their hearts towards you. We also pray for the nation of Iraq. You will also turn the hearts of those people to you, the true God. Father, there are so many things happen that be beyond our knowledge, and we sometimes don't know how to pray and what to pray. And Father, we just come back to your own word. We pray for the leaders of the nation, and we pray for all the people in this world that you will continue to move their hearts, and I'll continue to use us as your vessel of blessing to share the good news. Father, we pray that this world will become different just because there are Christians in this world. There are your children in this world. Wherever we are, Father, make that place a different one, and make that place filled with love, filled with care. And let people come to know Christ, and so that they will be saved. Father, we pray for this evening service that you will bless your servant and teach us your word and open our eyes and open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a few announcements this evening. First, we would like to welcome those who came to the Saturday evening English service the first time. If you are a visitor or a member of this church, as long as this is the first time you are in this Saturday evening service, would you please stand up and so that we can recognize you? We would like to welcome you. Do we have any new friends, newcomers? Yes, would you tell us your name and where you live?
My name is Franklin. I'm here
from. Thank you, Frank from Hillsboro. We welcome you. Do we have any other new visitors? All right, welcome you, Frank, once again. We have a few announcements to make. If you turn to the last page of the bulletin, the English ministry has shorter missions trips to Kyrgyzstan and Hungary, and the names of the team members are listed here. They request us to constantly support them with a prayer, especially during the time they are going out to the missions field. And in items 2 and 3, there are heart for the nations. The activities and the sharings, and you can contact Dave Hsu for details. In the meantime, pray for this program. And in the summertime, the English ministry team will arrange the teaching English in China programs. So for those who feel the calling from the Lord, you can contact Dave Hsu also. And item number 1 and item number 4, there are some timelines here too. We ask the members of the church to reserve, to mark your calendar for June 26th to 29th, where we will have a whole church retreat at Elizabethtown. And we will have a vacation Bible school this year. This will be led by our youth ministry. And the date is from the 11th to the 15th of August, every day from 1:30 to 5. Also, we ask all the members to start praying for this vacation Bible school, and also start to pray for the friends you would like to invite. As we did in the past year, the Christian kids, if you want to register, you must bring a friend who has not come to Christ yet to go together. Item number 5, I would like to call your special attention. There will be a junior high youth ministry parent-teacher meeting. This is for parents with children from grade 6 to grade 8. So even your children are at grade 6, you are invited to this meeting. This meeting is on Sunday, April 6th, which is a week from tomorrow. And the time is from 12:45 to 2 o'clock in room 314. The purpose of the meeting is to develop a better partnership and communication between parents and youth co-workers in a spiritual and a wholesome nurturing of our youth during these critical teen years. And we will have a few parents and a few co-workers share their life-changing stories of how God's work in their youth lives. So you're welcome to attend. And this is for people who come on both the people who come on Saturday and on Sunday. If you need further information, we have an invitation letter at the receptionist's desk. Now I would like to ask the children to join your class. For the adults, I would like to invite you to open your hymn book. We will sing hymn 319. Hymn 319. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray.
and Lord, and I, so sincere. Oh, give me power, power in prayer. Living in Thee, Lord, and Thou in me. Constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me Thy power, boundless and free. Power with men and power with Thee. My weakened will, Lord, Thou canst renew. My sinful nature, Thou canst subdue. Fill me just now with power anew, power to pray and power to move. Living in Thee, Lord, and Thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Thy power, boundless and free, power with man and power with Thee. Touch me to Thee, Lord, teach me to pray. Thou art my pattern, day and today. Thou art Thy power, boundless and free, power with men and power with Thee.
Please be seated. Let us now recite the verse for this month, which is in James chapter 4. Verses 2 to 3. James chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. Shall we read together twice and then we will recite together? You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. James 4, 2 to 3. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. James 4, 2-3. You do not have, because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you ask on your pleasures, on your gift. All right, let us now turn to the Bible, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Shall we read together? Luke 11, 1 to 4. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. This evening, Pastor Wilson will deliver a message. The title of the message is The Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, Pastor Wilson.
Good evening, everyone. Shall we turn to the passage tonight that we just read on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11? It's a very familiar one, and I plan to preach a series about the Lord's Prayer, starting by tonight. And if I've been given the opportunity, then we can go down one item at a time. Tonight, we will focus on the first item on the prayer. That is, Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Just this sentence. There's a lot of things in these couple of words. But before that, shall we bow, have a moment of silence? And when we bow, I want you to remember two things. These two things happen around us and happen to relate to us in different parts of the world. The first one, of course, is dominating the news and the media right now, is the war between America and Iraq. The second one is related also to all of us. May not be directly related to you, but in some way is very close related to us, is the epidemic going on in Asia, in Hong Kong, in China, the atopical pneumonia that's going on, and a lot of people have been affected. There's no cure. Let's remember these two events. Pray for the country, pray for our quote enemy, the Iraqi people. Pray for the people in Asia. Pray that God's peace, God's healing in different ways, in different forms, will be manifest in their lives. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come together to worship you, to bow down in front of you, we have to admit there's a lot of things we don't understand. We cannot totally understand that the things happening around in the world, some of the things that we see right now, might be harmful and evil to other people, but yet they're still happening. Some of the things we don't understand what the outcome will be. Tonight we come together, we commit our own country in your hands, that you raise up America to be one of the powerful nations in the world, but yet sometimes we rely on our technology and our military power more than we rely on you. Lord, may you have mercy on the country. May you have mercy on the people in this country, that you somehow use this war to help the country turn around, to be humble in front of you. Lord, tonight I particularly pray for the men and women who serve in the military forces, that some of those are missing. Some of them lost their life. They are 19 years old, 18 years old, 20 years old, and yet they end their lives so quick. Lord, I ask you to comfort their families. I ask you to protect the troops in Iraq, that they may return safely, that you guide this war, that it will end in a quick manner, that minimize all the loss of innocent lives. Lord, we also pray for the people in Iraq. Lord, we pray for them that somehow your will be done, that you will show your love toward them. Lord, turn the people's heart around in terms of their hatred toward Christianity, that we know that a lot of these things has been rooted in misunderstanding and rooted in a lot of false concepts over the centuries. Lord, this is not the way you come to the world. You come to the world to die for each one of us, to die for the sinners. Lord, tonight we pray for the people in Iraq, that your love somehow will manifest through your people, through your children, to show your love toward them. Lord, we also commit the other side of the earth, Asia, in your hands, that this epidemic is going on in different countries and is spreading over the world. Lord, we pray for those who are sick, that you will heal them, that your hand will lay upon their lives to help them to recover, to help them to fight back, to win the infection of the virus. Lord, we also pray for different countries that people are living under the shadow of fear, the shadow of death, that your son's life will speak to them. Use your church, use your children, that will bring forth love and healing to a world that has been alienated, that has been living under the fear of that. Lord, we commit the worlds around us in your hands, that you will show your love. At the end, your love will victoriously over all the darkness in this world. Lord, as tonight we come together to learn your word, may you open our eyes, open our ears, that we will understand the wisdom in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2,000 years ago, people lived in Palestinian area. They faced similar situation as we face today. There's war, there's conflict, there's disease, there's a lot of things, unfortunate things going on. And when they see this special person, Jesus, walking among the Jews, especially his students see him, that in the midst of despair and hopeless, that we don't have to be reminded that they live in a country that is under the rule of a foreign power, Roman Empire. They rule the land with feast, with power, with force, with violence, that they suppress all sort of movements that against the Roman Empire. They even suppress the people by putting on heavy burden of taxation on them. And all these things that is real and everyday life for Jesus' disciples. And the thing I think very special tonight when we read chapter 11, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." This disciple, Luke did not record his name, and he came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, teach us how to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his student how to pray." I think this disciple, he was thinking about the situation around him, the hopelessness of his country, the situation that his own people were under a foreign power, ruled over by Roman Empire. They don't have freedom. They don't have freedom of speech. They even have to pay tax for a foreign government, and the government even use some of their own people to squeeze money from them. And yet he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus' ministry in that area with power, with wisdom, and with miracles following him. And I think they put Jesus in very close watch. Watch him how he did his things. Where did he gain his power from? And I think he suspect that maybe Jesus get his power from his prayer. So he said, "Is there any secret formula in your prayer that you can pray and you can teach us how to pray so that we will gain the power as you have so that we can do more works for our own people?" And Jesus replied by saying what we know today as the Lord's Prayer that we recite from time to time, and we are very familiar with that. Now tonight we're going to focus on the first part, the first point of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus replied. Jesus said to him, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name.'" Now this is only, in English, this is only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. There's a lot of things in there. Now I want to share with you tonight 2 points based on these 5 words. The first point is, in order to have an effective prayer, quote-unquote effective prayer, we have to, number one, we have to know God. And number two, we have to honor God. We have to know God, we have to honor God. How do we know God? How did Jesus address to God? Jesus addressed to God, not God of the universe, but he addressed to God in a very intimate way. He said, "Father, Father." Knowing God is a mystery. From time to time in human history, all cultures, all civilizations, we strive to learn who that mighty one is, who created heaven and earth, who created the universe. And we come up with a lot of ideas. If you in your school, you go to social studies, world history, or you're in college, world civilization, anthropology 101, that sort of thing, it will teach you different civilizations have different way to worship their deities. Each civilization find their own god, carve its own image for its own God. Now, who come up with the true picture of God? We don't know. I remember when I was in high school, we have to study Chinese literature. And in Chinese literature, we recite a lot of those ancient writings. One of the writings is from the master of Taoism. This guy is named Zhuang Zi. I don't know whether you heard about it. And he wrote a lot of ancient texts that he's famous of ambiguities. He writes certain words, and you look at it, first time you look at it, you understand. And when you look at it again, it seems that you don't understand. You know, and I remember there was one sentence he wrote. He said something like this. He said, "For those who are limited, if you want to pursue the unlimited, it's a dead end. For those of you who are limited, if you want to pursue the unlimited, it is a dead end." It is true. Think about it. I came across this story. You know, Augustine, the ancient church father, long time ago, probably 1,800 years ago, something like that. And he lived in North Africa. And one day he was meditating upon the concept of Trinity. God in three persons, but yet still one God. And he keep meditating, he keep thinking. The more he think about it, the more he think this is very, very difficult to understand. And the more he think about it, the more he think this is ridiculous. How could three be in one, and one at the same time be three? So when he walk around in the North Africa, one day he was walking on the seashore, and he saw a little child. He saw a little child playing, building a sand castle. You know, I guess from ancient time to now, all the kids would like to play sand castle by the beach. So this kid was playing that, and he was digging a hole in the sand, and then he ran back and forth with his own little bucket sort of thing to carry the seawater to fill the hole. And he was so busy running back and forth. St. Augustine asked him, "Little child, what are you doing?" The little child replied, "Oh, I try to fill the ocean in the hole. I try to bring all the seawater into my hole." Now, that comes the enlightenment for St. Augustine. He said, "Oh," at that moment, he said, "I understand. I try to fit God into my little hole. Is it possible? Can God be fit in that little hole? If the little child cannot fit the ocean into the little hole that he dug, then St. Augustine, or you and me, cannot fit God in our own little thinking, in our own little mind. God is much, much bigger than you or I can think of. We are limited, but God is unlimited. So we want to pursue unlimited. There's no way. There's no way we can understand." Then you will say, "Then who can understand God?" But there's hope. If the unlimited one, God, wants you and me to know Him, then it is possible for us to know Him. It is possible if He desire you and me to know Him. How did He desire you and me to know Him? Let me read you couple of passages. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 26. You don't have to turn, but if you want to turn, you are welcome to do so. Let me read you this verse. In John 17, 26, it said, "I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." This is what Jesus said to Heavenly Father. Let me repeat again. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you, Heavenly Father, have for me, Jesus, may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Think about this sentence. Jesus said, "I made Heavenly Father known to the people, to His own people, to all the people in the world, and will continue to make you known in order, for a reason, that the love that God Father has with Jesus will be in you and me. Will be in you and me. And Jesus Himself will be in you and in me also." Think about this. This is not a small thing. This is not a small thing. An infinite God who can indwell inside of you and me. This is what the Old Testament prophet and saints were longing for thousands and thousands of years. They long for God's presence in their lives. If you go back to Old Testament, from Genesis on, the first five books, you will see, you know, when we read the first five books of the Bible, we usually get very boring, right? And sometimes when you read, seldomly people get through the third one, Leviticus. Okay, when you go to Exodus, and you find out that in Exodus, there's almost 10 chapters that Moses recording how to build the tabernacle. The size of the table, what sort of decoration it should be, the measurement, everything, in very small details. You will wonder, why should we read those things? It's no longer relevant for us today. We do not build a tabernacle except in Pennsylvania for the tourists to see. We do not build that anymore. Then why should we read those 10 chapters? There was a reason. Because in those times, God's people, the Jews, they desire, they long for God's presence, living with them together. It's an awesome concept. God lived among His people. Now, when they asked for that, and God gave it to them, the way that God gave it to them is to give them a symbol, something concrete, something they can see, they can touch, they can see it every day, that remind them God is among them, which is the tabernacle. But it's not a small matter, because God is holy. He is absolutely holy. He cannot see any sin. He cannot bear any dirt, dirty things, sins, sinfulness among His people. So, in order to have God's presence, in order to have God's dwelling among us, we have to be on God's term, not on our own term. So that's why Moses, when he get the message on top of Mount Sinai, he came down with the book, with these five books were written by Moses, and he devote 10 chapters, a long, long passage, to describe God's dwelling place among His people. And this is a very serious matter. If we want God live among us, we have to be on His term. So God give him very detailed instruction. How do you construct this place? How do you design all these things? Not according to your own design, not according to your own thinking, but on my own terms. Because I am the Holy One, I am the only one, and I am the Almighty One. From that on, the book of Exodus is the book about God's presence among His people. And then it leads to the third book, Leviticus. Leviticus tells you a lot of laws, especially about the clean and unclean. Why does it say a lot of things about clean and unclean? Because when a holy God lives among us, we have to be careful. All our sin cannot be tolerated. So we have to clean ourselves. We have to clean ourselves. God desired to live among us, but He also, not only a mercy and loving God, He also is a holy and awesome God. So God revealed to us about Himself through the Bible. Tell us who He is. Tell us what He likes and what He hates. Tell us what He thinks, and tell us what He thinks is right and what He thinks is wrong. And we condemn in one word called personality. Personality. God in three person. Personality. Personality means it's a person that you and I can face to face, to know Him, to build relationship with Him. God desires us to know Him. And the ultimate revelation is not only in the Bible, but in one person, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. That if you want to know how God looks at you, how God wants to relate to you, one thing you are for sure, you read in the Gospels, Jesus' life. You read Jesus' life, you read how He deal with people, deal with sinners in His own time, then you know how God wants to relate to you and me. Jesus lived out the relationship God desired to build with His own people. When we look at Jesus, we know how God would like to relate to us. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Indeed, this is a blessing. This is a tremendous blessing for you and me, that the Old Testament saints and prophets, they long for thousands of years, now become a gift for you and me, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. You may know Him better. In the original text is, you will truly know Him. You will truly know Him. In Jesus, we know God. Because if God chooses to hide Himself, we cannot find Him. We cannot find Him. That's why a lot of different cultures, different civilizations, when you look at their religious arts, think about the Chinese temples, think about the South Pacific Islanders, think about people in Africa, different cultures in Africa, think about the Native American cultures, the totems, all these things. When you look at those religious arts, there's always an element you can find, is fear. To make you feel fear, afraid of it. I still remember in China, when I was young, the one fearful place to go to is the Chinese temple. Because when you step inside the temple, by the door, there will be two posters of the door guard, and the door guard doesn't look like you and me, and doesn't even look like the cops on the street. You know, when we look at the cops on the street, they are strong, they are formidable. But when they compare with the door guard in the Chinese folk religion, they're nothing. Because these door guards, they're holding the big weapon. One is red face, the other one is dark face, with beards, and the two eyes were so big. You know, and they're not smiling at you. You know, they look at you like you are a criminal. You know, I'm going to come after you. Past the doors, when you see those statues on two sides, we call them number 7 and number 8. I don't know whether you remember. They wear long hats with the long tongue sticking out, with, you know, like ghosts. Why are these fearful elements in those religious places? Because for human being, it is easy for us to know somehow in this universe there's a more powerful being there. There's a more powerful force there. But the trouble is, we do not know how does this power, this powerful one, wanted to relate to us. Would this powerful being look at you and me just like an ant in your house? You look at it, oh, I want to get rid of it. And you and me were like that. And then we're gone. Or that one, this one will love you, will look at you like, oh, my children. Now, all the human cultures on earth, that you can see, everyone try to find God. Every culture try to find God. But seldomly we find the right one. You know, we can know there is someone out there, but we do not know what is His attitude toward us. God look at people, God look at His children and see, I'm not an angry father, I'm not an angry God. I just want to say I love you. And yet, you find the wrong way, you cannot reach me. So now, I open up a way for you to come toward me. The way, the truth, the life, which is Jesus Christ. I become human. The Word become flesh. To come and show the way. Show us the way that we can come back to our Heavenly Father and will ensure us to have a relationship with Him that is a loving, a mercy, and a kind relationship with Him. God in Jesus Christ to show us the way. God desire us to know Him. That's why Jesus tell us in the prayer, if you want to pray, the first thing you want to sure is your relationship with God. You have to be very sure about this. Otherwise, everything in your prayer will go spin off to the wrong direction. To the wrong direction that lead you to a wrong impression about God? Have you ever thought about that? When you pray, you think that you want something, and then you, at the back of your mind, you think, ah, there's no such good thing. I probably won't get it. And maybe, or sometimes you think, oh, I've been good. The life has been good, and somehow down the road, there might be some disaster waiting for me. Inevitable. Have you ever think of those things? In Moses' time, when he led the Israelites leave the land of Egypt, when they came to the other side of the Jordan River, facing the Promised Land, Moses sent 12 007 over to the Promised Land to look at the land. I talked to you about that passage before, right? These 12 007, then they come back. They do not have one report. They have two versions of the report of the land. 10 of them report about the land. This is a fertile land, but those people are huge. We are just like grasshoppers compared to them. And yet, out of these 12, two say, this is a promised land. God gave us this. It's a fertile land. We can conquer that. We can conquer that. When you look at that passage, I wonder if you ask the question, those 10 people, they went on the same time, same trip. They went to the same places. They saw same similar things. How come they come back with a totally different report? It has to do with their faith. The 10 look at the environment and thinking, oh, God has been using miracles, using a lot of powerful means to deliver us. Now, when we go up to the door, this is doom day. We're going to end here. We're going to all die here. This is a joke. This is a cosmo joke. We are just pawns being played, being fooled by God. But yet those two say, God is a faithful God. He is not playing game with us. He will lead us and He will fulfill His promise. Two different ideas, two different faith, two different belief systems that led to totally different results. The 10 that spur up almost a rebellion of the people. They get punishment. They get judgment. One day in the promised land equal to 1 year of wandering in the wilderness. And that generation, they all die in the wilderness. Only those two, the two other spies, Caleb and Joshua, they can enter the promised land. God revealed Himself in Jesus to tell you and me He loves you. He wants you to come home. He wants you to enjoy His love. This is the first most important part that Jesus wants to remind us. If you want to pray to God, first you have to set the relationship right. He is your Father. He is your Father. He is not just merely a power, an energy, or a judge. He is a Father. Because He is a Father, so you and I can come to Him and ask for things that you want and ask Him. But yet, that's not the end. God, Jesus also saying the other four words, hallowed be your name. What does hallowed be your name mean? Hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. What does holy be your name mean? Holy be your name means people will honor you, including me. I will honor you. I will honor you. When we know Him, not only He decided to build a relationship of father and children with us, but also He wants us to honor Him. What does honor Him mean? Honor Him means we put Him in the first place in our lives. We put Him in the most important place in our lives. We put Him as our first priorities. What does put Him as first priority means? In prayer, usually in prayer, we always ask for things. I still remember when I first became a Christian, I asked for a couple of things. Asked God for things, you know, just like young kids ask for presents from their parents, you know, every year. Hopefully, when you grow older, you will ask less of that. But for all of us, we are parents, we have this experience that, you know, when our kids are young, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 months before Christmas, you will receive a list of wish that what they want, you know. And this is the first stage of our prayer. We want things from God. And God, throughout building a relationship with us, He will guide us to go through a path of growth and maturity. And in that path of growth and maturity, first He will grant us the wish that we want. As long as the wish is right, then most of the time you will see, you will hear, and you will see things like those young Christians when they pray. It seems to be the prayer is more effective than us. You know, the older, the longer you become a Christian, the less God answers your prayer. And if you just know Christ, you pray for something, seems you always get it. You know, don't get envy with that. Don't get envy, because we are going to pursue a path of growth, knowing God. Knowing God means honoring Him. Knowing God means putting Him on first priority, that we learn day after day to put God first and our wish second. Knowing God is also with a thanksgiving heart. Let me read you one verse from Psalm. Psalm 51, verse 23. Psalm 51, verse 23. This is a key for honoring God. Psalm 51, I lost my bookmark. Verse 23. Shall we read that together? 51 doesn't have 23. I really lost my bookmark. Psalm 50? I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Let's read it together, okay? Psalm 50, verse 23. Shall we? He who sacrifices thanks offering honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Is that clear? What does honoring God mean? According to this verse, what does honoring God mean? You do something that means you're honoring God. What is that? According to the first half of the verse, he who sacrifices thanks offering honors me. Sacrifice thanks offering. What is sacrificing thanks offering? That means you give thanks to God with a thanksgiving heart, thankful heart, then you are honoring God. A thankful heart sometimes have something to do with things that you receive. You receive a gift from certain people. You know, if, let's say, Brother Yi Chong, give me a present. Oh, I'm thank you very much. A thankful heart, honoring him. But also, thankful heart also means sometimes you do not get what you want, and you still yet thanking God for who He is. And this is a more deeper understanding and relationship with God. When we do not get what we want, yet we still approach God with a thankful heart. That is honoring Him. Honoring Him, sometimes we have to admit that God has His own timing and His own way to do things. I want to share with you one little story that I came across. It might be a true story because I tried to search the source. I could not find where it came from, but I read it from more than one source, from books, from the internet. There's a certain guy named Roger, years ago, and he served in the military. And then by the time he retired, you know, when a soldier retires, he's not really an old guy, you know. Sometimes they retire when he's in the mid-20s, that he finished his military duty and he retired. So he wants to go home. And carrying a suitcase, quite heavy, so he was in the crossroad of an interstate highway. So he tried to hitchhike. So right now very few people hitchhike, so when he hitchhiked, I think it's in the 60s, something like that, you know, try to hitchhike, and then a lot of car pass him. But when he keep doing that, and he saw that this Cadillac driving through, and then he said, he thinking about this guy got driving a Cadillac, rich guy, probably won't stop, but I'll give it a try. And to his surprise, this Cadillac stopped. So he picked up his suitcase and run, go to the car, and says, "Oh, I want to go to Chicago." He said, "Oh, it's on my way. Come on in. So he get into the car, throw the suitcase at the back seat, and then he sit next to the driver. So they down the road is a long road. Now Roger is a Christian. He want to seize every opportunity to be the Lord's witness, to witness Jesus Christ. So he start out with a casual conversation with this driver, and this driver seems to be doing quite good, driving a Cadillac, dressing up very good. And he asked him, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I have a company. I run this company, doing this supply. I'm on my way to see my customer, have a big meeting to present some of the project that I did for them." And he has a suitcase at the back also. So they talk about it. And then Roger tried to strike a conversation about Jesus. But this guy always, when he touch upon the subject, he just jump to another subject. He doesn't want to talk about it. Now, the car is getting closer to Chicago, and closer to Chicago is closer to the place that Roger wants to get off. And Roger think, I got to do this. This is probably my last time in my life to see this gentleman. And he's so kind that he give me a lift. So he collect himself together and witness Jesus Christ. And when he witnessed Jesus Christ and asked this young man, "Do you want to accept Jesus Christ?" The car stopped and said, "Oh my goodness, he wanted to throw me out of the car." He got mad. And then this driver stopped the car and said, "Yes." And Roger was stung. So, "Oh well," and then he just let him for a prayer to accept Jesus. And then he shook his hand and said, "God bless you. Thank you for the ride. I hope to see you again." So, and I asked his name, his last name, he asked his name, and he got a name. The last name is Hanover. So he collected the suitcase and gone. He never heard from this guy. He never seen him again. 5 years later, Roger got a job, moved out of town. And one day, he came back to Chicago on a business trip. And go to this company. And you go to the company and saw this company with last name Hanover. And it reminds him that young man that he saw. And then he wonder, would that be the same company? So he come to the reception. When he come to this company, and ask the receptionist, "Do you know so-and-so? Can I see?" And he said, "Yeah, he found this company." And he said, "Can I see him?" And the receptionist said, "Oh, I don't think that's possible. But his wife is in the office. Maybe you could be able to see her if her schedule is not booked today." So the receptionist checked the appointment book and said, "Oh, she probably can be able to see you. Can you give me your name?" So he went in and talked to this Mrs. Hanover, and then the Mrs. Hanover agreed to see Roger. So Roger walked into the office and seeing this young lady sitting behind the executive desk and business suit. And then she said, "May I help you?" And Roger said, "Oh, I probably know your husband. And this lady said, "Oh." And as a, and this lady said, "How did you know him?" Roger said, "About 5 years ago, that I tried to hitchhike on highway, and then he gave me a lift, and then we had a good time talking on the way to Chicago." And this lady asked, "Did you say anything particular with my husband?" And Roger sort of like, you know, debating whether should I tell him that I led him to Christ. So he said, "Okay, since I did it once, I did it one more time." So he said, "Yes, I talked to him about Jesus Christ. And to my surprise, he had a prayer with me and accept Jesus as his personal Savior." And this lady started to weep. This lady started to weep. And Roger was so puzzled. And then Roger asked, Mrs. Hanover, is there something wrong? Is that? Then Mrs. Hanover collected herself later and then said, my husband died 2 years ago. My husband died 2 years ago. And over all this year, I pray that he will accept Jesus. And he never told me that. He never told me that. And I thought God did not answer my prayer. So since he died, I did not go to the church. I did not talk to God anymore. Now today, I know God has his own way to answer my prayer. He did answer my prayer. I share with you this story. A lot of time in lives, you and I, we ask for something. And sometimes we think that God did not answer. But don't jump to conclusion that quick. Hallowed be thy name. Honoring God. Put our schedule, our desire, our own planning. Submit that under God's own planning and timing. Trust that He is faithful. He will do His will according to His own time. And He will make everything beautiful at the end. Let's bow and pray. As we bow and pray, can I ask the nice pianist to play the last song that we're going to sing, a very familiar song. You and I trust that we don't have to look at the hymn book. It's I Love You, Lord. It's I Love You, Lord. Lord desire to build a close, intimate relationship with you and me. He is our Father in heaven. He has his own way to fulfill all the needs in you and me's life, in our own lives. Tonight, what we have to do is trust Him. Trust Him to a degree that we put our plans, our desire, our timing under His guidance. Trust that He will not make a mistake. Shall we sing this song?
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King.
The sister lead us and the brothers we pray. Brothers, pick up the tempo a little bit.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy. My King, in what you hear, may it be the sweet.
let's all stand and sing the last time.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King.
Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your desire to build a relationship with us, a relationship of love and acceptance, a relationship of father and children. Lord, we tonight we want to honor you. We want to submit ourselves under your will, put our own little planning, our desire, under your planning and your desire. We know that you have your own timetable, and your own timetable is much better than our own. And we trust that you will make no mistake. We thank you. May the love of our Heavenly Father and the grace of His own Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to cleanse all the sins and inequities in our lives, and the communion, the encouragement, and the little voice of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us tonight until we see the Lord again. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's sing doxology. Please be seated. After silent prayer, the meeting adjourned.